plus 5. South side, outpost, New Kerguelen. Leisha, talk to him, Dan pleaded. He took one solace of comfort from the relief that he could at least telepathically communicate with the messengers while every controllable muscle apart from those in his eyes, including his mouth, had been utterly immobilized by Sacco.
We didn't do anything, Billy added. For God's sake, look at this place. We had nothing to do with any of it, except for our crew finding it and finally pulling the wool from your eyes. You should be thanking us.
Dan would have turned to Billy if he could, to send a subtle signal for him to wind his damn neck in and stop being confrontational when Sacco was in this kind of mood. As it went, he had to settle for a telepathic rebuke that the messengers naturally heard. Trusting Dan's judgment, Billy stopped actively expressing his anger. He couldn't quite control his deepest thoughts, but figured that if Dan kept communicating openly, then Sacco would be too preoccupied with him to eavesdrop on Billy. Leisha was saying nothing and still not even looking at what was going on, but the furious look on Sacco's face suggested it would be worth Dan's while to keep trying to get through to the messengers he knew best.
Please, Leisha, he said. At least tell him to let us move. Put a force field around us if you want us to talk without touching anything, just not this. Come on, we're friends.
Don't listen to him, Sacco implored his companion. Their aggression brought the architects here. They put this upon us.
My brother saved your life, Dan retorted,
bypassing Sacco again in favor of Leisha, who he had wisely identified as the more likely to listen.
Yeah, you stopped the bullet from killing him, but only because he spotted the threat and pushed you to the ground first. Is this how you want to repay him? By keeping me here for nothing?
Leisha, Sacco said very firmly. He's trying to manipulate you. They are intelligent, as we heard and as we know, and that combined with their aggressive tendencies is what makes them so dangerous.
In lieu of the ability to move, Dan's eyes darted around in frustration.
When the hell have either of us ever been aggressive? Listen to yourself, Sacco. You're letting the architects win. You've been hurt, lied to, abused. But being burned once doesn't mean you push everyone away. You stand back up and go again, either with us or without us. But you don't take this out on us.
You saw as well as I did, Sacco shot back in reply.
Dan took a deep breath, essentially involuntarily.
Okay, the architects didn't want to engage with us. They warned you against anything beyond minimal necessary intervention, and they used you to keep us from developing certain capabilities. But how does that reflect badly on us? If you think their judgment is so good, do you approve of what they did here? Because it's one or the other. You either think they're right or you know they're not.
The alien was unbudging.
They can be right about one thing. They encountered humans thousands of years ago, Dan said,
trying a different tack and letting his thoughts run unconstrained, given the feeling that he had nothing to lose from this already awful predicament.
We've changed. And think about this. If we had developed into the worst things they feared, would they really have authorized you to save us when Il Diavolo was coming? Huh? Think about that. In fact, they did it. You don't have the kind of power to knock a comet off its course, do you?
So very recently, way more recently than they first encountered humans and made these shelters, they saved us, our species, our planet, everything.
Yes, your planet, Sacco replied. Exactly as you say. The transcript mentioned your planet's unmatched biodiversity. Perhaps they diverted the comet despite your presence, not because of it.
Dan cursed himself, unsure whether his final sentence had given Sacco this logical get-out-of-jail-free card or if it would have come anyway, but still wishing he hadn't had the thought. Deciding not to share it wouldn't have done much good, though, since Sacco could effortlessly read Dan's mind like an open book, so he didn't dwell on this for too long.
No, wait, he suddenly countered. They weren't going to save Earth at all until I talked you into pressuring them about it, remember? If it had been about the biodiversity, why wouldn't they have diverted the comet right away?
Maybe they hadn't detected it, Billy thought to himself.
Shut up, Dan snapped at him.
for in the silence between clearly shared views, Billy's thoughts to himself were anything but.
Precisely, Sacco said. Perhaps they hadn't detected it.
But you told us about it on the plaque, Dan blurted out, remembering the sequence of events. That was the whole big thing. Clearly having lost track of this major point, quite understandably given everything he had just learned, Sacco appeared flustered for a moment. Dan was glad that they were at least engaged in a discussion, but he knew it was going to take something more to talk himself free. The Il Diavolo question, like the broader question of why the architects hadn't taken care of the supposedly threatening human race rather than concoct their elaborate buffer, seemed like one Dan wouldn't and couldn't get an answer to from the messengers. With his stress level reaching new heights with each passing second as the inability to move became more and more oppressive, Dan did all he could to stay rational and look for some piece of logic that might get through to Sacco or at least to Leisha. The more he thought, though, the worse the stress became, partly because he could think of nothing to say, and partly because he was starting to doubt that any kind of logic would get through to Sacco. It had already been plainly established that abstraction wasn't the messenger's strong point, whether through any fault of their own or not, and Dan wasn't convinced that anything he could ever say would be strong enough to calm Sacco in the physical presence of a being whose race he had irrationally decided to blame for the predicament of his own.
Just listen to me, okay? Both of you, Dan pleaded, with one last move in his mind. You've been lied to. You've been lied to, and as interpreters, you've innocently passed those lies on to the rest of your planet's population as the truth, okay? You were used to spread a lie. Well, if I could move my arms and hands, I would be pointing at myself right now, because I wrote the goddamn book on buying a lie and selling it as the truth.
Right. Billy supportively chimed in.
But you don't give up and let the liars win, Dan went on. Whether it's Richard Walker or Jack Neal or these asshole architects, you don't let the liars win. You don't let them get the best of you and you don't let them bring out the worst in you. You dust yourself off and live a good life. And guys, look around, there is a good life waiting for you. Your world is better now than it was a week ago. Your world is way bigger now that you know you can go outside and your horizons are broader. Sacco, you can go outside. You can lead your people back into their cities, back to their ancestral homelands that the architects tried to steal away. All of that is yours if you want it, but it begins by letting us go home. Close the gate, burn the machines, whatever you want to do with these poisoned gifts they've given you, do it. Just please, let me take the uplift device home for Piper and Terra. That's all I ask.
Billy tried not to think anything in disagreement with Dan's mention of closing the gate, which would cut off all prospect of future cooperation, and which he hoped was a bluff rather than a serious suggestion. But the mental silence after Dan made his point was once again filled by Billy's involuntary thoughts. Sacco took a long, hard look at Dan.
You are intelligent, he said in a neutral tone that Dan knew could lead one of two ways. But I can sense that you are trying to manipulate me. I can hear the process behind your thoughts. You are trying to trick me.
I'm trying to make you see, Dan screamed, feeling his immobilized tongue spasm as the telepathic message reached Sacco with just as much strength as a vocalization ever could have.
I see your continued attempts at manipulation, Sacco replied coldly.
They locked you in a cage for thousands of years, Dan shot back, his cool well and truly gone. Why would you listen to a single thing they say? They lied. They used you. Sacco, they set themselves up as your gods and hid behind the machines. They preached their crap about minimal necessary intervention, all while constraining your development and ours, because that's what suited them. Step back and look at it.
I can still hear you, Sacco boomed, the thoughts louder in Dan's mind than any before them, uncomfortably so. I can still hear your thoughts, looking for a way to make me do what you want. I see the scheming and the motive behind your words. I just want to go home, Dan replied weakly.
A single tear escaped his left eye, quickly joined by more once the seal was broken.
I don't care about anything else. Lock the gate, burn the machines, just like I said, I don't care. And if you won't see that I never meant any harm, and you can't let me go, please, at least let Leisha bring the device to Birchwood before you cut humanity off for good.
Sacco said nothing.
Let Billy go too,
Dan begged, the tears relenting, but the words still shaky.
That's all I want. If you don't think closing the gate is enough, keep me here. Earth will never try to cooperate without me as a figurehead. People are already against it. Just ask Leisha. And when they know you've kept me, killed me, no one is ever going to want to try to reach you anyway. If this is what you need to do, do it. Don't cooperate. Don't let me go. But please, please, just let Leisha fix Piper.
At last, at long, long last, Leisha turned around and walked to Sacco's side.
You heard the thoughts, Leisha said to his companion, telepathically communicating in an open manner very consciously so that Dan would hear too. He meant it. That was not another case of finding something to say that would persuade you to let him go. That was real. You heard the motivation behind those words as clearly as I did, Sacco. Dan truly would willingly stay here. He truly would willingly die here. He truly would sacrifice himself completely, all for the sake of the child. He is not what they say. He is good.
Too quickly to do anything about it, Dan felt his legs buckle from under him. This sensation was soon replaced by a throbbing pain that came with the cracking of his head against the hard floor. In turn, however, this intense pain was quickly superseded by the relieved realization that he was free. He had gotten through, albeit at the moment he stopped leaning on logic and gave up on everything but the same driving force to protect his daughter that had brought him to New Kerguelen in the first place.
Thank you, he said, reveling in the ability to move his lips again.
Both of you.
Just go, Sacco said, dismissively turning away as he spoke.
And don't come back.